It's good to be with you today, and it is, I tell you, it's a special joy to be back here where I spent 8 years of ministry at Bellevue First. What a wonderful congregation here. Back in 1989, Suzanne and I were expecting our first child, and I tell you, I was excited. And I remember having a conversation with my mother about how excited I was about becoming a parent. And somewhere in the course of the conversation, Mom said, "You know, you're going to be close to your children, but Suzanne is going to be connected." And I said, "Mom, that is so sexist." And she just did her, you know how Mom, she just smiled and said, "You'll see." And kind of changed the subject, went on to talk about something else. Well, Jennifer came along, and then since her, we added Benjamin and Jonathan. And then, you know, as much as I hate to admit it, Mom was right. I am close to my kids. I am very close to my children. But Suzanne is connected to them. Might have something to do with that 40 weeks they spent inside of her. That 40 weeks where she was literally connected to them with an umbilical cord. Those 40 weeks they were protected in her womb and where they fully developed. They abided in her. They abided in her. Jesus uses a different image to describe our connection with him. Vine and branches. But the Greek word that John uses frequently, meno, that's used to describe this relationship of abiding, it means to stay, to remain, to stay as a guest in someone's home. It conveys the idea of sustained, unbroken fellowship with someone. For John, to abide conveys this unbroken fellowship with someone. It's being close, being intimate. It's a permanent relationship. Almost like an umbilical connection. Meno, abiding, is central to John's understanding of our relationship with Christ and Christ's relationship with God. He uses that term 34 times in his gospel, another 19 times in those brief letters we find in the New Testament. He uses meno to describe Jesus' relationship with God. Jesus is in God. God is in Christ. So much so that Jesus' words are the word of God. So much that Jesus' actions are the very activity of God in the world. To see Christ is to see the very nature of God. Because God abides in him. And he abides in God. And in regards to our relationship with Christ, Jesus says he abides in us and we abide in him. And to describe the depth of this connection, he uses the image of vine and branches. Think about that for a moment. A branch connected to a vine. The branch that's connected to a vine is nourished by the vine. Apart from the vine, a branch in no way can possibly live. It only survives because of its connection to the vine. Meno implies this unbroken fellowship, close, intimate, permanent relationship. It is incarnation at the greatest level imaginable. God is with us, always with us. We are conscious in our minds and we're conscious at the depth of our being, of our connection with Christ. And we are aware of his continual indwelling presence. Incarnation, Christ is with us. Abiding, Christ is in us. And we are in Christ. And if you will, we are in the womb of Christ. This idea ties into John Wesley's understanding of sanctification, becoming perfect in love. When the Holy Spirit has completely taken us over, We're no longer a reflection of the person we used to be. By the power of God's grace working in us and flowing through us, we become a reflection of the very nature of Christ who abides in us. A very reflection of the vine to which we are connected. And according to Wesley, this comes about through spiritual practices where we grow in the grace of Christ. Spiritual disciplines that connect us ever more deeply into Christ and allow us to open ourselves up to make more room for Christ within us. It comes through spiritual disciplines such as prayer, not just offering up our wish list to God, but prayer where we really seek to connect with Christ and really seek to be transformed by Him. It comes about through meditation. It comes about through reading the Bible, not just for information, but to allow the Word of God to really examine us, to dissect us, so that we find ways we can more deeply connect with Christ. It comes about through worship, through experiencing the grace of Christ in the sacraments of baptism and of Holy Communion. Some people are open more up to the working of God through the practice of Christian journaling or reading books by people of faith, and often even through fasting. When we practice spiritual disciplines, we find that through them we encounter Christ, and through them we are nourished by Christ. And these spiritual practices help us to be more mindful of this connection we have with the vine. But this close, intimate, never-ending relationship also comes about by being continually mindful that we abide in Christ and He abides in us. You know, when I think about this, my working relationship that keeps me mindful goes back to my childhood. I have an older sister and an older brother, and any time we went anywhere, Mom and Dad were in the front of the car, the three of us were in the back seat fighting over who had to sit in the middle. But, you know, we'd go places, and as soon as we arrived, I remember the car going into park, the engine turning off, and without a word spoken, both of my parents turned and looked in the back seat at the three of us and said the words, "Now don't you forget who you belong to." Translated in the mind of a child, it meant, if you get out of line, you're going to pay. And most of the time, that message stuck with me, at least until I got back into the car and we fought over who had to sit in the middle of the back seat again. But as I've gotten older and I look back on those times, I'd like to think that what my parents really were trying to convey was, remember to reflect the nature of who you come from and what we as a family are about. Remember, your life is to be a reflection of who you abide in and who abides in you. In John's imagery, as branches that abide in Christ the vine, as branches that are nourished by the vine, our lives are to reflect the very nature of the vine to which we are attached and by which we are fed. John also reminds us that branches that are connected to the vine bear fruit, and that the fruit the branches bear witness to their connection to the vine. And what is the kind of fruit that they bear? They bear the fruit of love. A love in honor of God. A love for the other. And in John's language, even if it means laying down your life for the other, it's sacrificial love for the other. Keeping the commandments is not to be understood in John's understanding as something we have to do. I mean, what branch says, "Oh gosh, because I'm connected to the vine, I suppose I had to bear some fruit now." No. It's the natural outcome of being connected to the vine. Branches that are connected to vines, naturally, they bear fruit. And they bear fruit that lasts. So we'll know we're connected to the vine when our hearts desire to love and honor God. We'll know we're connected to the vine when our hearts are filled with love for our neighbor, not because we have to, but because of the Christ that we dwell in, the Christ that dwells in us, we love in the same manner that he loves us. And in the United Methodist Church, we believe Christ is leading us to live out that love in four specific areas of focus. One is creating new and renewed congregations. Think about that for a moment. If we're abiding in Christ, and Christ is abiding in us, is there any way we can't be renewed? Is there any way we can't be renewed? If we're abiding in Christ and Christ is abiding in us and we are taking that love and connecting with people around us, is there any doubt that the time is going to come when we have to plant new congregations? It comes about as a natural result of abiding in Christ and Christ abiding in us. It naturally flows out of a close, intimate, permanent relationship with Christ. The second thing is engaging in ministry with the poor. You know, it's wonderful. When I get these reports from local churches every fall, it's wonderful to see how much we are concerned about those in need in our communities, in our country, and throughout the world. I don't think we have a single church in this district that is not doing something to address issues of poverty. Not one. That says something. That really says something. We are concerned about those in needs around us, and we are concerned about showing the love of Christ to them as we respond to their needs. But the United Methodist Church is encouraging us not to just be in ministry to people, but in ministry with people, ministry with the poor. The goal is not just to do things for people. That's transactional ministry. The goal is to be more like Christ, who formed relationships with those who were in need. And not just any relationship, but relationships that have the potential to be transformational. Relationships that can be life-changing. Our challenge as United Ministries is to take those transactional relationships and turn them into transformational ones. To not only reveal the fruit of Christ that comes about from our connecting to the vine by doing things for people, but by relationally connecting with them. To help people to realize that they were created by God, and by God's grace, Christ wants them to connect into the vine as well. As United Methodists, we're also focused on improving global health. Our middle child, Benjamin, is a senior at the University of Mount Union, biochemistry major, believes God is calling him to be a doctor, and Suzanne and I are proud of that. We're also glad to say God has made it clear to us he can cover medical school on his own. This past August, he had the opportunity to travel with the United Methodist medical mission team to the country of Liberia in Africa. And Ben got to see United Methodist clinics, a United Methodist hospital. He not only got to see it, he got to do some work there. And he saw how our shared ministry giving is improving global health. We have this commitment as United Methodists to improve global health. And you know what's exciting for me is we're even doing it locally as well. Sometimes we don't even realize we're doing it, but we're doing it locally as well. The opioid crisis and other issues of addiction are affecting the health of our communities. Quite often we fail to realize our Sunday school programs for children and youth, our after-school programs with children, and even youth fellowship are improving global health. A study done by the United States government found that for a 10 to 16-year-old child, to be involved in a mentoring relationship is one of the best things we can ever do for them. 27% of those kids that are in a mentoring relationship will be less likely to drink before a legal age. And 46% of them will be less likely, 46% less likely to take a drug. Our ministries of mentoring to children and youth are transforming lives. The fruit these ministries bear can help prevent lives from being negatively impacted by alcohol and drugs and instead have a positive impact and connect kids to the vine of Christ. One of our United Methodist Church affiliated agencies in Willard, Starting Point, is starting a sober living residence within the next few months. I'm really excited about that. It's a living space for people who've come out of treatment and rehab, a space they can go to where they can continue a life of sobriety with a supporting network around them. And then, you know, we have these ministries and congregations where we're sponsoring NA and AA and Al-Anon groups and Alateen groups and other recovery ministries. We are bearing the fruit of life-transforming love. We're impacting health locally and nationally and internationally. The fourth area of focus, and the one I believe upon which the others depend, is the development of principled Christian leaders. And a principled Christian leader is a follower of Jesus, a branch connected to Christ the vine, whose life bears the fruit that comes about from abiding in Christ and from making room for Christ to abide in oneself. It is someone who seeks to love and honor God and seeks to love the others that cross our paths. Recently, our district lay leadership ministries sponsored a workshop called From Membership to Discipleship. And the goal of that workshop was to help congregations to develop discipleship systems that will help our congregations develop principled Christian leaders. Jesus invites us to be a reflection of his very nature. As branches that are connected to Christ the vine, as branches that bear the fruit of love. And this comes about when we abide in Christ, when we seek to stay connected to him and to make room in our lives for Christ to take up permanent residence within us. What would happen to people's lives in our communities if we consistently lived out of this abiding relationship we have with Christ? What would happen if we bore the fruit of new and renewed congregations? What would happen if we consistently engaged in life-transforming ministries with the poor, not just ministries for them? What would happen if we were committed to improving global health and in our district brought the love of Christ into a culture being destroyed by addiction? What would happen if the goal of the discipleship ministries of our congregations was to develop principled Christian leaders? I don't know about you, but I want to find out. I want to find out. Let's commit to finding that out together. Let us pray. O Christ, the vine to which we are connected. O Christ, who takes up residence within us. May your transforming love work at growing us ever deeper and ever closer to you, creating us more and more into the image that you desire us to be created into, transforming us that we might be your agents of transformation in our communities and throughout the world. May our lives bear the fruit that comes from being connected with you, fruit that loves and honors God, a fruit that reveals your love flowing through us to those around us. Guide us, direct us, for we seek to be connected to you. We seek to have evidence in our lives and in the ministries of our church that reveals this deep connection. Lord Jesus, we ask these things in your name. Amen.